You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of Locked On Giants. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, along with co-host Pat Trena of Inside Football, Forbes, The Athletic, Big Blue View, and a few other places. Patty, how are you today, the one day after we saw the most recent Giants OTA?
I was glad to be back in the saddle after having to miss the one before, Ed. Always a great opportunity to get out of the house, and always fun to get to see a practice and talk about football, which is what we do.
Yes, it is, Patty. And what we're going to do today, we're going to go through, several of the things that we saw during yesterday's OTA, which was the seventh for the Giants, the last one with media access. We will see the Giants practice one final time next week. Actually, we'll have access to three practices next week during the mandatory mini camp, and then the Giants will be off for the summer until training camp starts. So we're getting closer and closer to the real start of the 2018 season. So Patty, let's talk a little bit about some of what we saw on Monday. And one of the things that really jumps out to me, or jumped out to me yesterday, was the Eli Manning to Evan Engram connection, and what I saw as the number of different ways that the Giants seem to be utilizing Engram, the different places that they're lining him up, and the fact that some of the throws to him, on Monday were more downfield, more vertical type throws than what we saw, from the Ben McAdoo 2017 Giants offense. Your thought on Evan Engram and what we saw?
You know, it's interesting. First off, absolutely correct. I mean, I know we were standing together for part of the practice, and we were talking. We were like, "Oh, look at that! A couple passes thrown in the seam." Something that we didn't really see a whole lot of the last few years. So certainly that was nice to see. But it's interesting because when Evan Engram was drafted last year, we heard about how versatile he was, how he could be used in so many different ways. And yet, when push came to shove, he really wasn't moved around like the number of times to the different positions that you thought he would be. I'm looking at his snap counts on Pro Football Focus, and he took 776 snaps on offense. Of those, 535 were as a tight end. Now, there's in line, obviously, and there's, as a receiving tight end. But if you look at his other spots, he only took 152 snaps as a slot receiver, only 79 as a wide receiver, and only 10 as a back out of the backfield. So not really, they didn't really move Engram around as much as I thought they might. Even after they talked about how versatile he was and how he could be like a chess piece. This year, at least so far, from what we have seen in Pat Shurmur's offense, we have seen more of that. We've seen Engram, in the backfield. We've seen him as the slot receiver. We've seen him split out wide. We've seen him in line, not as much in line, but, as a traditional tight end. And I think they are finally getting back to, what they initially thought, were the strengths of this kid. And it's interesting because Pat Shurmur, everybody talks about, how he's a quarterback whisperer, but if you also look at the success his tight ends have had in his offensive systems, that's something that you can't ignore. And I'm really excited to see exactly what the final product's going to look like, but to see Engram moved around the way he was, to see Ellison get the snaps he was getting, it just tells me that tight ends are going to play a really, really big role in this offense.
You know, Patty, that's interesting that you mentioned Rhett Ellison, because that was one of the other things that I was going to talk about. You know, we don't know yet, and the Giants don't know yet exactly what form this offense is going to take. And to be honest, that's one of the wonderful things. You know, Shurmur's history is more, you know, is not this is my system and this is how I do things. The history is more let's examine the personnel that we have and what we can do with it, you know, within the scope of the various ways you can run offenses in the NFL. And I think one of the things that we are seeing that's enabling the Giants to move, you know, Evan Engram around and maybe even to move their running backs around a little bit, I think one of the things that we're seeing and probably will see is a lot more of the two tight end offense, you know, with Rhett Ellison, you know, attached in line and allowing the Giants to move, you know, personnel around a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, look, last year and actually for the last couple of years, we've all complained about how predictable the offense was. I mean, we could tell by the personnel that was on the field. You know, you pretty much knew that where the ball was going, it was going to go to Odell on a slant or some kind of short crossing pattern. Now you've got some new additions, if you will, that Shurmur and Mike Shula, the offensive coordinator, are looking to play up. So I think what you're going to have now is you're going to create more of a challenge for opposing defenses to where they can't now say, oh, you know, the ball's going to go to Odell on a slant. Now you've got to accommodate for a lot more personnel moves, possibilities, and it's just going to be, I think, tougher to defend the Giants' the Giants' offense. And I think it's also going to be more exciting because, you know, I don't get the impression you're ever going to see the same thing run twice. You just have so many options, and the key is really keeping everybody healthy and on the field. And I think this offense can be really something special.
Certainly hope so, Patty. That would be a lot different than the misery we saw last year on offense. I want to spin away from offense for just a second. We got an opportunity to talk to Landon Collins yesterday, and, you know, it's been a little bit of a surprise to media in attendance, you know, about 4 weeks or so after his second forearm surgery. It's been a little bit of a surprise to see him participating, you know, at least on a limited basis, taking some team snaps, you know, just coming 4 weeks after that second forearm surgery. But he revealed yesterday that this actually was the timeline that he expected to be back on the field, you know, at this point, rather than the 6 or 8 weeks that had initially been announced. It can't be anything but a positive, you know, for Landon Collins and this Giants defense to see him back on the field.
Yeah, I mean, anytime a guy can be ahead of schedule or on schedule, that's a good thing when he's coming off of a significant injury or surgery. But, you know, the other thing Collins said when he was asked if he thought he might be cleared for next week's minicamp, there's really no reason for him to be on the field that soon. You know, he pointed this out. He said, look, you know, the games don't start until September, so we're really not playing for anything. Why push it and suffer a setback? So my guess is we won't see Collins cleared in time for the minicamp, just as we won't see Odell Beckham Jr. cleared in time for the minicamp. You know, it's a nice romantic notion. It would be a pleasant surprise if they were, but you've got to be smart this time of year. You have to take it easy. And the fact that Collins has been there out on the field, he's been doing individuals. He told everybody how he feels he needs to earn his position again. He's not taking anything for granted. I mean, you just got to like the overall attitude, not just by Collins, but just the whole atmosphere. It's just so different from last year when you know, that you knew certain guys kind of knew that they were locked in no matter what they did. And I really like, you know, and I know this is kind of spinning away from Collins, but I really like the whole atmosphere that Shurmur has created within that locker room.
Patty, that's actually a good point, and it is something that I wanted to get to today. You know, over the last couple of weeks, I've had an opportunity, and I know you have had an opportunity to talk to several players as well, but I've had an opportunity to talk to a couple of the new Giants. Last week we talked to Michael Thomas, the safety/special teams guy from the Miami Dolphins, who signed as a free agent. Yesterday I had an opportunity to talk to longtime Pittsburgh Steeler William Gay. I also had a chance to talk to B.J. Hill. You know, we've had a chance to talk to a number of guys, and when you get around these guys, you get around the team, you do feel, you know, I just think of it as a more professional, more positive attitude, and I keep coming away from talking to some of these guys. You know, I thought the William Gay interview that we were able to do yesterday, or that I was able to do, was I thought he was tremendous, very professional, very nice. And I just keep coming away from talking to some of these guys thinking that there's a reason beyond football for why the Giants brought a lot of these guys in. These are good people who will be good influences in the locker room, good influences on the sideline. And, you know, something that coming away from last year and establishing a new culture as a new, you know, with Shurmur as a new coach and Dave Gettleman as a new GM would seem very important. And I don't know about you, but I just keep coming away impressed, you know, with these guys when I get a chance to talk to them.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, people, when they look at signings, some of the signings that the Giants have made of these older guys, and they say, well, why? Why are they wasting their money on them? And they're really not. You know, you and I have talked about this before. You know, you think back to Jonathan Stewart, you know, William Gay. These are all guys that have been there, that have longevity. They've had some success. Otherwise, of course, they wouldn't be in the league. And they have an idea of how to prepare and how to win. You know, William Gay coming from the Steelers, you know, which has had a team that's had success in the postseason. Jonathan Stewart from the Panthers that made the Super Bowl a few years ago. So you can't underestimate that impact. And I think one of the problems why a locker room splinters is when you have a bunch of guys who really don't have a direction, who aren't on the same page, who really, you know, aren't sure. You know, they think they know how to get it done, but they really don't. And when you have these veteran voices, I mean, if you think back to the 2017, the championship team, you had a lot of veteran voices in that locker room, and they kept things in order. And I think it's interesting because I believe Steve Serby wrote this article or alluded to it in one of his articles. Pat Shurmur is supposedly putting together or going to put together a leadership council. And, you know, there are certain guys, you know, you want to have on that team. You want the guys who lead by example. You want the guys who are not afraid to speak up if they are approached by some of these younger kids, you know, on how to do things. And it's just so important to have that in a locker room because this is how you deal with problems as they pop up. You know, you nip them in the bud. And you have these guys who maybe have seen this before in their careers and who can help, you know, nip it before it becomes a major, you know, splintering effect. And, you know, you're absolutely right. Kudos to the Giants for balancing it out with leaders. I mean, you know, these are guys who probably won't make Pro Bowls or, you know, who you might be able to make an argument that, you know, they might be past their prime and are just playing out the string, but they have value and they're excellent additions to the locker room.
Yes, they are, Patty. And let's, you know, it's just encouraging. Who knows how things are going to work out for the Giants this year, but it's just, you know, as we've said, it's just encouraging to feel a more professional, you know, more productive, more pleasant environment, you know, around the Giants this year. Let's spin to another topic that you and I discussed a little bit yesterday during practice that we both noticed, and that Pat Shurmur, you know, during his press conference tried to say was not a big deal. He said, don't read too much into it. You know, but we've been talking about the center competition. And yesterday we saw, you know, John Jalapio take all of the snaps with the first team at center. Obviously, I think we'll see Brett Jones, you know, continue to get snaps there. It looked like yesterday was Jalapio's turn. You know, but it's becoming increasingly obvious that there's a competition there and that Jalapio, you know, much to the surprise of many, has a chance to win it.
Yeah, you know, one thing I have to say I learned yesterday about John is actually I think his last name was pronounced Jalapio. I think that's how they pronounce it. But
I'll never get it right.
I still say Jalapio, and you know, but I just better make sure that when I next time I talk to him, I get it right. I get what Pat Shurmur was saying. You know, the offensive linemen, much like the defensive linemen, they're not in pads, and you really can't tell at this point what you have completely. I mean, you can look at fundamentals, you can look at the basics, you know, there's certain things you can tell, but you won't be able to know until the pads go on and things heat up. Now, with that said, you know, it's interesting, John Jalapio, I'm going to try and say his name right, I'm going to slip up, I know that, he was the guy who last year, I went back and I found a bunch of old notebooks as part of a major cleanup I did in my office, and I found my notes from last summer camp. And I wrote his number and his name down a lot as someone who I thought was an intriguing prospect. At the time he was playing guard, wasn't really working so much at center. I think he did a few snaps at center. But I thought he was a guy that might be able to sneak up on people and grab a roster spot. And throughout the year, whenever he played, I know in our issues of Inside Football, we talked about how, you know, he has a good base, he anchors well, he brings a toughness and a nastiness to that offensive line that you want to see in the O-lineman, and he just was an intriguing player to us. And we didn't know, you know, because at the time I think he was an exclusive rights free agent, so we didn't know, obviously, with the change in the GM, the change in the coaching staff, did he have a place? Because, you know, he had been a journeyman before he had come here. And it's nice to see that he's getting the opportunity because, like I said, given the opportunity last year, he made the most of it. I think I saw a stat on Pro Football Focus that he did not give up a sack. I think he only gave up, like, I want to say 10 pressures, and he played a lot of snaps. So just 10 pressures, and we don't even know if those pressures were really his or a result of a breakdown. So really, you know, an interesting player. Now, that's not to take away from Brett Jones, who did a wonderful job last year as well when pressed into action. But you always kind of got the impression that the Giants don't have – as of right now, at least, a long-term plan for center. They're kind of just letting it play out this year, you know, because Brett Jones was signed as a restricted free agent, so he's technically on a one-year deal. And I think they're going to just let it play out and see how it you know, develops. And whoever loses that battle is going to be the first off the bench if there is an injury at guard or center. I think that's probably safe to say.
Oh, I would agree, Patty. You know, when I think about Jalapio, I'm going to try, just like you are, I'm going to try. I think about Dave Gettleman talking about the offensive line and talking about, you know, how in order to find offensive linemen, you don't always necessarily have to draft them, you know, in the first round. I mean, especially interior guys, you know, guards and centers. You know, he said you just work, you watch film, you know, you look under every rock, you know, you uncover every stone to try to find an offensive lineman. And maybe, just maybe, you know, Jalapio is a guy who was, you know, right underneath the Giants' thumb the whole time, you know, and could be a significant contributor for them.
Yeah, and you know, he seems to have the right attitude. You know, he's unassuming. He's very everybody I've spoken to said he works his butt off. And another benefit, you know, and I know this has really nothing to do with football per se, but anytime there's an event in the community, he's always like one of the guys you're going to find. So he's an all-around representative of that football team. You know, he embodies toughness. He, you know, he contributes to the community and just seems like a really good guy to have in the locker room. You know, again, not a guy who, you know, if you tripped over, you'd say, oh, wow, you know, that's a New York Giant offensive lineman. But when you see him on the field, you can understand why he is a New York Giant offensive lineman. And I think a lot of people are going to start to realize that he's one of those hidden gems that I think Gettleman has been so successful in finding. Now, whether or not he develops into like an Andrew Norwell type hidden gem, that's to be determined. But, you know, so far, based on what we've seen and the feedback, you know, from the coaches, he's definitely someone you can't sleep on.
Oh, definitely not. Patty, let's spin to something else. Yesterday, I thought, as we were watching practice, I thought the two plays of the day, per se, if you want to call them that, were made by the two Giants starting cornerbacks, Eli Apple and Janoris Jenkins. Eli Apple knocking away a long pass from Eli Manning to Sterling Shepard that would have gone for a touchdown, and Janoris Jenkins, you know, covering Cody Latimer on a fade and making a really nice interception in the corner of the end zone. I thought that, you know, the Giants are going to need both of those guys, and plays that they make now, you know, early in June don't matter that much, but I guess the point being that the Giants really need both of those players to be healthy and be successful this year. And I thought yesterday was another really good sign, you know, for both of those guys.
Yeah, they really need those two guys to bounce back from last year. The Janoris Jenkins pass breakup, the interception that he had, he was actually out of bounds. So I that's why I know I didn't give him the play of the day, but I definitely did give Eli Apple the play of the day. And Eli Apple, you know, if you were to make a list of guys who have really stood out this spring, he's got to be at the top of your list, if not at the top. Just a remarkable turnaround. He has made the most of the second chance that he's been given. We talked about his stepping up and owning his mistakes from last year and admitting, you know, hey, I was a knucklehead and, you know, I'm going to make the most of it. And really, you know, it's been great to see the turnaround because the talent has always been there. And as is usually the case with a lot of guys that don't step up, it's usually because they are their own worst enemies. They're doing something that prevents that talent from coming through. And, you know, again, not to, you know, minimize what Eli Apple went through last year. You know, you don't wish that on anybody. But it's nice to see that, you know, he has no clear burden on his shoulder. He can focus on being the very best player he can be, and he's taken a lot of steps to repair an image that really took a beating last year. Janoris Jenkins, a little different situation, you know, in that he was injured last year. He wasn't able to follow up on his first year the way he had. You know, but he's got a fire under his backside. I think I read where he was upset because he was slighted. He wasn't included in the top cornerbacks or something like that. And he's now determined to, you know, to re-earn that. So, hey, whatever works, whatever lights the fire under these guys' backsides, that's a plus for them and a plus for the team.
You're right, Patty. The only other thing that I will say about Eli Apple is that in talking to William Gay yesterday, the topic eventually turned to Eli Apple, and William Gay, I think, going in my view, way, way, way over the top at this point, said that he thinks Eli Apple has Hall of Fame talent, and he said something to the effect of, I just want to help him so that when he gives his Hall of Fame speech, he mentions my name in it. And, you know, like I said, I think that's way, way over the top, but it just goes to show it's another player, you know, giving another indication that, you know, Eli Apple has done everything he can possibly do so far this spring, and that things are pointed in the right direction for the young man. So hyperbole or not, I took it as a good sign.
Yeah, it is. I mean, again, right now everything seems to be going swimmingly for the Giants. You know, whether or not that continues, I don't know. Usually there's something that pops up, and the true test is going to be how they respond to it. But, you know, going back to what we talked about earlier, they have the leadership now in that locker room that I think will help them through whatever should pop up unexpectedly and that might potentially have a negative effect. And I think they will be do a better job at managing it.
Patty, we have, I think, three more OTAs, including one that's going on right now this week for the Giants. Then we have the mandatory mini camp next week before the break for the summer. Before we end today's show, is there anything we haven't talked about that you really think that we need to mention?
I know people are going to ask about the attendance, and I really don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about who wasn't there. We probably should just quick mention it. And I will say this, you know, as was reported, no Odell, no Damon Harrison. And my response to that, voluntary. Okay. And I'll say one other thing about it, and then you could say whatever you want. Sometimes players will have arrangements with coaches regarding what they're going to do in the off season. All right. So, for example, you know, if Snacks recently completed his degree, so I'm sure he communicated that to the Giants and said, "Hey, you know, I'm going to be, you know, attending classes so I can finish up my degree, and I, you know, I may not be around as much as usual." So, for anyone who is making a big deal about the fact that these guys aren't at voluntary activities, or anyone who thinks that, you know, maybe Beckham is getting ready to, you know, take a stand as far as his contract goes, I would say might want to calm down at this point, because there has been no evidence to the contrary to suggest that that's indeed where it's going. And I think you just have to take everything with a grain of salt at this point.
Again, you're right here, Patty. I think that when we get to next week, when we get to the mandatory mini camp, if Snacks or Odell or whoever, you know, is not there, and Pat Shurmur's not happy about it, you know, then maybe we have a topic to discuss. Right now, I think there's just nothing to see there. There really isn't anything else I can add about that unless we see next week that guys aren't there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, one other thing I'll say about Odell, and that, you know, everybody is entitled to an opinion, so I'm not really, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but Odell has never really come out and declared, "Oh, I'm not setting foot on a practice field. Oh, I have to be, you know." I know he talked about wanting to be the highest paid player, but if I remember correctly, his words were, "I'd like to be, not I have to be," which is quite a difference in context. So I would say until we hear from Odell, until we get an opportunity to ask him and let him talk and speak for himself, right now, you know, I've tried to resist going crazy with, "Oh, my God, he's getting ready to hold out," or, "Oh, my God, the Giants are going to have a distraction." So I think we just need to kind of pump the brakes a little bit until we see what happens. I think if Odell isn't there next week, like you said, yeah, now it becomes a little clearer, but I have a feeling he's going to be there next week. I have a feeling Snacks is going to be there next week. And, you know, fingers crossed we're going to actually get to write about football and not have these side stories.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice, Patty? Wouldn't that be interesting?
You know, I said to my husband last night, I said, there's a lot of things I miss from the old days, and I'm going to date myself with one of these things. I miss the days when milkmen used to deliver fresh milk to a metal box outside your house, and I miss the days when we could write about football and we didn't have to write about politics or distractions and all this other stuff that somehow has worked its way into the game. And, you know, maybe one day we'll get back to that. I don't know, but... just reflecting.
Oh, Patty, we can always hope. And with that, Giants fans, we will call it a show for you today. We'll be back at least a couple more times this week to continue to talk Giants football. And with that said, we will talk to you again soon. Bye-bye now.